Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Psalm 31:5 and 15. I am Rob West. Those are the words of David, who suffered severe mistreatment at the hands of Saul. We're all treated unfairly from time to time. So how should we respond? Well, I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, before we get into how we should respond when others mistreat us, I think it's important to examine ourselves first and to make sure we're not mistreating others. As Jesus says in Matthew 7:5, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. If you find that you've treated someone unfairly, repent and make amends because you serve a just God. Proverbs 21:3 says, "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Now, what to do when you're treated unfairly? Well, it could be by a family member, a friend, a boss or coworker, or someone you're doing business with who may be trying to cheat you. Money is often the issue when we interact with others, and it's a powerful motivator to strike back when we feel we're being mistreated. Losing money we feel we deserve to have can make us feel bitter, but Hebrews 12:15 tells us, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." You see, we live in a fallen world filled with fallen people, and we all experience mistreatment at one time or another. It's important to remember that you're one of those fallen people too. Your first instinct might be to lash out against someone who's mistreating you. That is not a biblical response to mistreatment. Instead, look to Christ as your model. No one suffered more injustice and mistreatment than Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:20 through 22, the apostle tells us how a Christian should respond to mistreatment. It reads, "When you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." Now, that's a pretty high bar to reach, but Peter goes on to tell us how to respond like Christ to injustice in verses 23 and 24. They read, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." You see, the key to responding like Christ to injustice is trusting God to work for good in all your affairs. Psalm 37:4 through 6 tells us, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." One of the greatest examples of a Christ-like response to injustice is found in Genesis and the story of Joseph. He was first sold into slavery by his brothers, then wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. Yet Joseph never reacted in an ungodly manner to injustice. He even went on to save his brothers and all of Israel when famine struck. Joseph trusted God, who eventually used Joseph's mistreatment in a powerful way. And God tests us the same way when we suffer injustice. He expects us to respond like Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that we must quietly accept every injustice that comes our way. It's not unbiblical to state your case in truth and love, but the result must be left to God. This brings up the question of whether Christians should sue or not. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, "If you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers?" Paul is adamant that this is a terrible witness for Christ. He goes on to say, to have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But note that Paul is only talking about Christians suing other Christians in civil courts. The civil courts are ordained by God to protect us from injustice. And nowhere does the Bible say we can't use them when we're wronged outside the church. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole, as the saying goes. As our danger or threat goes up, our longing for help is right behind, but it's interesting that this saying capitalizes on such a different understanding of prayer. It treats prayer as a walkie-talkie in war. But when we turn to the Word, especially when we see how Jesus prayed in John 17, something becomes much clearer. Prayer is communion with God. Jesus begins his high priestly prayer with a single word, Father. Not general, not sir. He began like we should, Father. Imagine prayer as climbing up in the Father's lap, spending more time with Him, receiving His love, being empowered by the Spirit to love others. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God has pulled all the threads together and put us in His master tapestry so that we play a part in all that God is doing. Every single one of us is a thread or a part of that great tapestry that God is embroidering.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, God Loves You, He Always Has, He Always Will. Next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000 with whatever you're thinking about financially. We'd love to chat about it and help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Again, 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in. We'll first head to Georgia. Joshua, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. West. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Thank you.
Okay. There's a fight coming over about the debt ceiling between Congress and, you know, the White House.
Yes, sir.
If there is no agreement reached and they just decide to default on the debt, can you please tell me what will happen? And I will hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Joshua. I appreciate that. You know, we go through this every couple of years, and it's mainly political jockeying and rhetoric, and ultimately they always increase it. So I wouldn't think that it's really likely at all for there to be a true default. We've seen examples of this around the world, what happens when there is a liquidity crisis or a debt crisis, and it's not good. And so it will result in them increasing it. However, what is the longer-term solution? And the challenge is that I think here where we sit at about 130% of gross domestic product, where our national debt is, we're finally to the point, and we've not been at this place since World War II, we're now to the point where a potential debt crisis, not imminently, but a good bit down the road, is plausible. And so we've got to rein in spending. We've got to stop, with just an easy money supply, injecting money into our system to cover budget deficits, which can lead to runaway inflation. And we're certainly experiencing part of that right now just because of our easy money policies that went on during the pandemic and prior to that, for a considerable amount of time. And as that national debt grows, especially with higher interest rates, which makes the debt service a lot more expensive, it becomes a real challenge. And so we've got to get on top of this, and that's going to happen with policy changes, which means you've got to show up at the ballot box and vote for folks who are going to really legislate around a sound money philosophy of reining in spending and having fiscal restraint as a nation, because what we recognize is that these biblical principles that we talk about here from God's word related to money management apply to God's people. They also apply to nations, and God has a design for economies that starts with the value of human life and recognizing we were created to be workers and to be productive and to take God's creation and order it and divide it and improve it. And in that virtuous cycle of work and productivity creates economic expansion, which is a virtuous cycle. So then we can give and give back to the creator that allowed it, it all to happen in the first place. And, you know, in that comes expansion, but that's not through artificial manipulation of interest rates or an easy money policy that just involves lots of printing presses physically or digitally creating a lot more money. And so we've got to be careful. I think we need to take this seriously as a nation. And I think, you know, we're in good shape right now. We can handle the debt that we have. The question is, where are we headed and what are we going to do in the decades that follow? So what would I do based on everything that I've just said and we're talking about here right now? I would realize that my own personal economy is what I can control. And so I should be living within my means and avoiding debt and setting long-term goals and having margin. And above all of that, I'd be giving generously to demonstrate to God that his economy is ultimately the real economy. His provision is more complete than my own, and he is my provider. I would handle his money according to biblical wisdom, and I'd pray, and I'd show up, and I'd vote, and make your opinion known around who needs to be leading this country and what decisions they need to be making regarding being fiscally responsible. I would also say that the U.S. is in pretty good shape according to the rest of the world, if we're grading on a curve, in terms of our strength and size and the state of the American consumer today. Again, we can't let this debt continue to skyrocket. We will have challenges down the road if we do, but I still believe the very best way for you to overcome the effects of inflation is to have a long-term, properly diversified investment strategy where you're systematically investing in high-quality stocks and bonds here in the United States and even internationally. That gives you the very best prospect to grow God's money and overcome the effects of inflation. Could a debt crisis be coming down the road? Yes. But do I see a collapse of the banking system or, anything like that? No, I don't. I think we still, again, are in a very strong position despite our challenges, and we should be long-term diversified investors and making wise decisions with God's money. There's a lot of godly and very astute economists and theologians that will continue to watch this and analyze it as we go. And I think we, again, just need to be faithful in what God has entrusted to us. But I appreciate you asking the question, Joshua. Thanks for calling. 800-525-7000 is the number to call, tackling your financial questions today, whatever is on your mind. Let's head to Louisiana. Hey, John, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love your show. I listen almost every day.
Well, thank you.
I had a question. I have a son that's living at home with us. He's for the last year and a half, he graduated in physical therapy, and he got his doctorate, but he accumulated some debt to save some money. He's got about $110,000 in student loan, and my question is, he saved about $60,000.
Wow.
And I'm wondering how to advise him exactly how much of that would you use toward this graduate loan? And he owns a truck, but that's about it. And hadn't gotten his first house, and didn't know whether we should rent or save money for a down payment on a house. Just get some advice from you from that.
Yeah. Very good. Well, John, thanks for your kind remarks about the program. And it sounds like your son is off to a good start here. I understand he's got a lot of debt, and that's weighing on him. Good news is, hopefully with this undergraduate degree and the field that he's pursuing, hopefully he'll have a good base of income and a marketable skill set that he can, you know, bring in some funds that will help him pay this off in a reasonable period of time. He's obviously demonstrating financial restraint and maturity just by virtue of the fact that he's saved $60,000. So that's incredible. I think the key here is, number one, yes, we should prioritize eradicating that debt, and now's a great opportunity to really get a good jump start on that while his expenses are low. And I believe you said he's living with you guys, which means at least for this season, while he's working, he should be able to continue to save, and we should prioritize the student loan debt. But we also need to balance that with other priorities, because this isn't going away anytime soon. And so I think one approach to that would be to say, what is a reasonable time period that he should think about having this debt completely paid off? Now, if he has a conviction from the Lord that I just need to be out of debt as soon as possible, then go for it. Don't look back. Otherwise, I might say, what does it look like to set a 10-year target to have this completely gone, this $110,000 in 10 years? And what would I need to send every month to do that, even if I make a significant jump start on that today? And then look at the other goals that he has. Maybe start by funding a Roth IRA this year and each year following. Put an emergency fund aside, and then also start saving for that house. I think those are all great priorities, and we can do them all at the same time. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net, and sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thankful you've tuned in today to Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions on anything financial today. 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to John from Louisiana. He's got a 29-year-old son. He's got some student loan debt, about $110,000. He's been saving. He's actually built up about $60,000 in debt. And John was wondering how he should balance his competing priorities of paying down this debt, perhaps buying a home sometime soon, and wondering whether he should make that a goal in the near term. And also any additional thoughts around continuing to save and allocate his resources. And John, as I was sharing before the break, I think one approach would be to say, all right, let's get started on that debt, but let's create a reasonable time period to pay it back. Let's say 10 years at the most. And what would it take every month starting right now to get that paid off in that time period? That then allows me to take the $60,000 and say, okay, what's the best use of this? Number one is that 3 to 6 months expenses for an emergency fund. Number two is, what if I, as long as he has earned income, you know, fully fund a Roth IRA this year at $6,500. And then beyond that, he could start saving toward other goals, potentially a home purchase. But give me your thoughts on that.
Yes. Yeah, Rob, that sounds reasonable. After listening to you for a long time, I kind of had those notes, but I wanted to be sure. And also, I wanted to ask you a question. I've heard you tell people recently, due to the increase in interest rates and whatnot and home prices, that maybe a first-time home buyer, he's looking at moving away from us and moving to another town. And I wanted to advise him on whether to rent or to possibly buy a house. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'd probably rent, and here's why. Number one is he's moving to a new area, and so often it takes a little while to figure out exactly where you want to live, and especially if he doesn't have his job yet. But even if he does, he may opt for one part of town over another, so he'd have some time to kind of work through that. Maybe he just gets a short-term six-month lease. The other thing is, I think we're going to see the housing prices continue to pull back. National averages are around 5 to 6% down. Could be more if we get into a more severe recession. And I think we'll see interest rates, mortgage rates backing off as we get closer to the end of the year. So I think he might be in a better position, given that he's not selling anything where he can pull some good appreciation out. He's starting into a first-time home. I think he'd be well served by waiting for those reasons. Now, if he got there and he just found that perfect thing that's in the right area and it fits his budget and he wants to go for it, I don't think that's a terrible idea. But just given some of those uncertainties, I'd probably delay.
Thank you so much, Rob. God bless you, and thank you for your ministry.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that, my friend. God bless you as well. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Dale. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to say, sir, you go right ahead. How can I help you?
Well, we have some funds in the savings account.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're making nothing. And we were looking at something to do with them, you know, to earn money, but you still stay within what the Lord would want us to do.
Yes. Yeah. So, Dale, what do you have? What is the balance of this savings right now?
It's a little over 150.
Okay. And is this separate from your retirement savings?
Yes.
Okay. And do you feel like you're on track with your retirement savings and whatever you're putting away in 401ks or whatever other vehicles you have?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. And then do you also have an emergency fund separate from this, or would this be would that be included in this 150?
No. That would not be included.
Okay, so this is completely separate. It's not for retirement. It's not your emergency fund. It really is just surplus. Do you have any other goals that you've thought about earmarking this for? Are you looking to replace an automobile in the next couple of years? I mean, is there anything else that this 150 might need to be allocated toward?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I think then the next question is really just trying to assign a time horizon to it. Because if it is truly surplus, it's not your emergency fund, it's not going to be for some short-term kind of major purchase, down payment on a house or, you know, paying down debt or replacing a car. It's not for retirement and you feel like you're on track with what you're saving for the long term, then we have the ability to be a little more flexible, and you can decide kind of where you want to land on the risk spectrum. Are you thinking, Dale, that you might be interested in investing this in stocks and bonds, even though you have the potential for loss, in order to get a greater return, or would you like to keep it more secure?
I think I'd like to keep it more secure.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I think then we look at what instruments can we use to protect this money, but also grow it at a reasonable rate. I mean, we start typically in that category with banking products. And so you'd keep it in cash and cash equivalents, like a high yield savings account. So at a minimum, I'd move it to an online bank where you can, that's FDIC insured, where you're getting 3.5% interest, which is available right now. So, you know, on $150,000, that would throw off about $5,000 a year. So I'd do that at a minimum, then you'd have the backing of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Beyond that, you could bump that up a little bit with CDs. So you might get a CD right now for, you know, a year or 15 months at 4.5, 4.6%. And so now all of a sudden that $150,000 is generating about $7,000 over the next 12 months. Beyond that, if you wanted to keep the safety, so you don't want to take the risk of principal loss, but you want to grow it, you know, and you want some tax-favored growth, you could look at an insurance product like an annuity. Now, those typically aren't my first choice just because they're complicated, they're expensive, you usually give up some of the upside in exchange for downside protection. But that may be what you're looking for. You may say, I'm willing to give up some upside because I want to protect, I want a floor on the downside so I don't lose anything. And if that was the case, you might want to look at an insurance product. So I think those are really your options at this point if you don't want to put this at the risk of the market. Otherwise, I'd probably find an advisor who could work with you to manage this money in a stock and bond portfolio. But you have to recognize, although the upside is better, you absolutely could lose money. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Dale. Thanks for calling today. God bless you. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Find peace in God's Word. In Nahum 1:3, the Lord has His way in the whirlwind. Frequently in life, we find ourselves in a whirlwind, don't we? Really, the wording means His way prevails even over above the storms of the whirlwind. God is in control. He has His way even above the noise of the storm.
Don't miss Exploring the Word with Dr. Alex McFarland weekdays at 3 p.m. Central on AFR or catch up with the podcast at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, have you checked out the new Faith Fi website? You'll find it at faithfi.com. While you're there, be sure to check out the Faith Fi app. It might be just what you're looking for as you get your spending plan set up this year, trying to set up your envelope system, digitally speaking, connect to your bank accounts, automatically download your transactions, and so you and your spouse can stay on the same page throughout the month, knowing what you have left in each budget category. That'll help you control the flow of God's money in and out and maybe help you accomplish your goals. It's all there in the FaithFi app. Plus, it's the destination if you want to explore biblical stewardship. That's right. In our Learn tab, you can read the very best and latest content, articles, podcasts on biblical finance. No matter where you find yourself on your stewardship journey, from struggling all the way to surplus, or you can jump into the FaithFi community where questions and comments are being posted every day, stewards like you helping each other on their journey to find God's best as it relates to managing his money. It's all in the FaithFi app. The easiest place to check it out and find a link to download it from your app store is on our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the app tab and you'll find a lot of great resources there. Be sure to check it out. All right, let's head back to the phones. Joan in Georgia. Joan, go ahead. How can I help?
Good morning, Rob. Yes, hi. I was concerned about the digital money that Biden is trying to get. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, the digital currency. He initiated a research report that has come out recently evaluating the creation of what they call a CBDC, a central bank digital currency, and they developed a framework on the responsible development of digital assets. It was an executive order, and it was intended to start the process to outline the government's approach to digital assets, and it asked several government agencies to come up with policy recommendations, everything, tackling everything from the digital dollar to regulations on cryptocurrencies. The U.S. is essentially joining what the rest of the world is doing. Over 100 countries now representing about 95% of the global gross domestic product are exploring digital currencies. The digital euro is scheduled to go online in the middle of the decade. China has one in beta right now. The U.S. is pretty far away from it. It's still going to take a while. The bottom line, Joan, is that basically the idea is that if it's designed well, and that's the question, and there's always questions about privacy, then transactions can be quick and easy. These digital dollars would be legal tender. Businesses would have to accept them, and they'd be relatively stable because it'd be tied to the dollar, which is different than the cryptos that have had a lot of volatility in the crypto space. If we're really efficient and good at it, it would promote the dollar as, you know, the world's reserve currency, which we are now, and it would shore that position up. And you can imagine how an encrypted dollar would be very desirable around the world. The challenge is it can be done with or without privacy. And so that's, you know, the big question is kind of how would they approach it? The key is that, you know, it's constitutionally clear that the central bank doesn't have the authority to do this. Coinage is a congressional function. And so it really is going to come down to can Congress get on the same page about whether or not we want this? It's going to be, you know, it's hard to get consensus on anything right now. And I think there's going to be a good bit of a lot of Congress will be not on board with this just due to the lack of trust. You know, the Federal Reserve in particular doesn't have a high degree of trust right now, just kind of given everything that's going on. So it's something we need to continue to watch and see how it's approached and see the framework by which they're going to establish it and what the privacy components of it will look like. But at the end of the day, it's still a long way off. We're not going to see anything in the digital currency space anytime soon. Give me your thoughts on that, and what questions do you have?
Does this lead to one world currency?
No, I don't see that. In my view, I think that's not something we need to be concerned about specifically related to this. This would just be a continuation of really the move into the digital space. And I don't think this by itself, a central bank digital currency, you know, takes us any further toward anything we would see, you know, in terms of revelation or anything like that. But I do think it's something we need to keep a close eye on. Just to see how it's put together, and we need to continue to, I think, push toward privacy and not have unnecessary intervention in our financial lives by government overreach. And this certainly could go in that direction if it's not put together properly.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What is your thoughts on it?
You know, I'm not a big fan of it for the reasons that I mentioned, just because it can be a way to have overreach into Americans' lives in a way that was not intended. I think if it's done well and the right construct is around it, it could be helpful, especially to keep the U.S. dollar as the de facto world currency, because all of the other nations are going to continue to move in this direction. And the cryptos, one of the reasons that they're so popular is some folks think that, you know, that could replace the U.S. dollar as the world currency. But I think given our strength and stability, despite our challenges here in this country, I'd like to see the U.S. dollar remain the world currency and reserve currency. And I think a digital currency could be a part of it. The big question is just how is it put together and is it done with the right privacy constraints? And we don't have a terribly good track record in that regard. And so I think that's the big question. And that's where Congress is going to have to really roll up their sleeves on this one, and why we're not going to see anything anytime soon. It's still a good ways down the road. And so we'll have to keep a close eye on it for sure as we move forward. Hope that's helpful to you, Joan. We appreciate you calling today and asking about it. Quickly to North Carolina. Ann, how can I help you? Ann, are you with us?
Yes, can you
hear
me? Hi
there. Yes, ma'am. How can I help?
Hi. I am calling for a friend of mine.
Okay.
In North Carolina, she has parents in another state. I'll just say the upper north,
sure.
New England area. Excuse me. They are older, and they're starting to have some issues, health issues.
Okay.
That my friend knows that the house they live in, and the parents are late 80s and one's 91. They have lived there. She's almost certain the house is paid for, and they've been told the house will come to her and her sister.
Okay.
Bearing that in mind, what could the parents do, since they know they are gifting or, you know, willing the house to
sure.
them? What can be done so that the house can go ahead and be transferred to their name now, in the event that they cross over to their final destination in the next few years because of certain health situations going on, so that they can avoid the high income tax they would face?
Yeah. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. That was helpful background. And right on the other side of this, I'll give you my thoughts on how they should proceed. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making. And that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio. Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, just before the break, we were talking to Anne in North Carolina. She's calling on behalf of a friend who has some elderly parents in the Northeast, and they have a home that she believes they own free and clear. Their desire is, and according to the will, the home will pass to their children, and Anne is calling asking if there's anything that should be done to transfer the house. Now, here's the reality, though, Anne, is there is no federal inheritance tax, and only six states have a state-level tax. So given that there's no federal inheritance tax and the lifetime gift exclusion for a couple would be, well, for an individual, it's $12.9 million in 2023. So unless this is a pretty big house and they have a pretty big estate, there's not going to be any tax due on this. The key is if they were to quitclaim deed or transfer the home ownership to the children prior to their death, then they would have to pay capital gains tax on it. And the basis that would be used to determine the capital gains would be their parents' purchase price. So if they've owned this a long time and it's had significant appreciation and it's transferred prior to their death, then they're going to have to pay the difference between what their parents bought it for and what it sold for. And so that's a reason why they wouldn't want to make any changes in the ownership of it prior to their death, because what happens when they pass away is the cost basis will be stepped up to the date of death. So it would be as if their purchase price is the value of the home as of the date of death. So if they turn around and sell it right away, there's really not going to be any gain there. And therefore, because there's no inheritance tax and there's no capital gain, they're not going to pay a penny on that gift that they received. So, it would actually be in their best interest for mom and dad to hold on to it until they pass away so that they get that step up in basis. Does that make sense? Ann, are you still there? All right, it looks like we're having some trouble hearing you. Hopefully that helps you, Ann, and maybe you can pass on that information. If they have further questions, I would encourage them to connect with an estate planning attorney in their area to help them navigate that. Thanks for your call today. Well, folks, this week we have an exciting campaign going on. As you've been hearing all week here at American Family Radio, we're partnering with an incredible ministry called Preborn Ministry, and asking you to help us help moms choose life. Preborn supports hundreds of Christian pregnancy clinics across the country, providing life-saving services, including ultrasounds. And here's our goal this week is partnering with you to provide 4,000 ultrasounds to a woman seeking an abortion and to be able to have that ultrasound free, which gives the mom the opportunity to choose life. We're well on our way to our goal of 4,000, but we're not there yet. We're going to need your help. We're joined right now by Joyce M. Bartholomew. Joyce is the national spokesperson and opening artist for Preborn. And Joyce, it is a privilege to have you on the broadcast today.
Thank you for having me, Rob. It's my privilege.
Thank you so much. Well, I am so excited about this, and I know we're well on our way to this goal of 4,000 ultrasounds, but take a step back for us and just talk about why the work of Preborn is so important for these moms.
It's so important because we are helping them see that what they are carrying is their own baby. Yeah. And instead of having... They're very abortion-minded when they come in oftentimes, but when we offer that free ultrasound, which is $28 for one free ultrasound or $140 for five free ultrasounds, and it's all free to them, and they are often very curious. And when they see the baby, if it's large enough to be seen, or they hear the heartbeat, they will choose life 80% of the time. And without the ultrasound, it's only 40% of the time. And this is how we are just directly making a difference person by person.
That's incredible. And Joyce, Preborn has had a pretty significant reach and impact over the last 16 years. Give our listeners a sense of the number of women that have been reached by this ministry.
Absolutely. We have, in 16 years, and I've been with Preborn 12, we have saved over 200,000 babies. Mm. We have placed ultrasound machines, we have placed five ultrasound machines, last $15,000 ultrasound machines provided by supporters. We have commitments to Christ, over 65,000 in 16 years. And that's our main goal, is that we are presenting and sharing the gospel. We're very evangelism focused. And we have counseled women who have considering abortion, over 450,000 women in 16 years.
That's incredible, Joyce. What an incredible impact the Lord has allowed you all to make. I want to talk about this aspect of discipling women toward coming to Christ and a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because I know Preborn has a passion to save unborn babies, and that's happening. As you said, more than 200,000 babies' lives have been saved as a result of these ultrasounds and the counseling. But talk about what it looks like to actually share Christ with these women as a part of the ministry. How does that work?
Well, I was a former pregnancy care center counselor a long time ago. And so it is a one-on-one private prenatal counseling. It's not psychiatric. We're just doing everything with a pregnancy and after. And during this time, we have been training volunteers on how to evangelize and present the gospel, because people don't know how, and they're also afraid. And it's been, we've been created a program by Dan Steiner, the president, and June Hunt, Hope for the Heart.
Yes.
And they created this, and they watch it and they study, and it's basically just being led by the Holy Spirit and knowing the gospel presentation very simply, and then asking them, would they like to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Mm-hmm. And they have seen a 340% increase just by this alone.
Yeah, that's incredible. What another amazing aspect of this ministry to these moms that you all are providing. And then, Joyce, these centers also provide some really practical assistance through the resources that many of these moms need free of charge. Tell us about that piece of the ministry.
Yes, all the centers provide free maternity clothes, baby diapers, food, cribs. People donate things to them, or they purchase them with money that they receive. And there's clothes for the baby. There's all kinds of help for them, counseling week by week. Even after the baby's born, if they want to still meet with their counselors, they do that. If they want to have Bible studies, they often are led into Bible studies with them. And it's just, we care about the mother as much as well as their baby.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, let our listeners know how they can be involved. What does it look like for them to participate with Preborn and American Family Radio?
We are so grateful, and for all the people who have supported with the $28 for that one ultrasound that's free to the women or the girls, or $140 for 5 free ultrasounds, or if they're led by the Holy Spirit for $15,000 for a brand new ultrasound machine. This is discounted for us because we have done great volume with this distributor. So this has been an incredible price. This is how we can reach these girls, each person just one by one.
Wow. Well, Preborn Ministry is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. You can be involved right now by just clicking in at AFR.net. You'll see how you can donate there, AFR.net. If you'd rather call, take your pen out, get ready. I'm going to give you the number to call so you can give as the Lord leads, and whether you want to give $28 to help us pay for one of these 4,000 free ultrasounds we'd like to provide, or maybe you can do $140 to provide five of those, or if God's given you a bit more than you need, maybe you could make that $15,000 gift and help us place one of these ultrasound machines at a deeply discounted price. Here's the number, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or you can go to AFR.net. Imagine when you get home tonight and you're talking to your spouse about your day, and I went to work and I had a good day at work. Oh, yeah. And I actually helped to provide an ultrasound to a mom who's considering an abortion. I mean, that's the kind of impact you're able to make when you just click in at AFR.net or you call 877-616-2396. What an amazing opportunity, folks, for us to try to reach this goal of 4,000 babies saved through these ultrasounds. If you would call right now and join us, we would be so grateful. Joyce, I'm going to give you the last word. You've been in the room with these moms. You've been a counselor. You've been a part of this ministry for 14 years. What would you leave us with today just about the importance of this work?
I would say that we can't stop, that abortion is not over. Even though Roe v. Wade was passed, it's not passed in all the states. A lot of states are still being extremely aggressive for abortion, making themselves abortion sanctuary states, giving you free expenses to come get an abortion there and have a vacation. We can't stop because they're very aggressive. and we can't shy away.
Yes. Well, that's a good word. We're going to leave it there. Joyce M. Bartholomew, National Spokesperson for Preborn. It's been a delight to have you on the broadcast today. Thanks for stopping by and for your great work.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you all.
All right. God bless you. That's Joyce M. Bartholomew from Preborn. If you want to get on board and help us reach our goal of 4,000 ultrasounds, you can do that right now. AFR.net or 877-616-2396. Help us get there. 877-616-2396. Well, on behalf of my team today, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland, Jim Henry, couldn't do this work without them, and so thankful that you joined us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow for our Friday edition of Faith and Finance. I'll be here, Lord willing, and hope you will be too. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.